thank you for that beautiful prelude. And am I on? Can you hear me now?
Can you hear me now?
Okay. I'm glad to welcome you to our Sunday morning service at Freeway Baptist Church. And what a beautiful day it is to be in the house of the Lord. It's cool inside, isn't it? And it feels good. And I'm glad that you're here. And I hope that your skin is cool and that by the time you're gone, that your heart is warm somewhat. From the Word of God, we've got a great service in store for you, and we're going to get right underway by singing Faith is the Victory. Let's all stand together. The words will be on the screen. If you want the hymnal, it's number 486. Come and lead us, Brother Williams, if you would.
On 486, as we sing Faith is the Victory, we'll have that introduction right there. On that verse, here we go. Encamped along the hills of light, ye Christian soldiers rise, and press the battle ere the night shall veil the glowing skies. Against the foe in veil below, let all our strength be hurled. Faith is the victory we know, that overcomes the world. Now sing, faith is the victory. Faith is a victory, oh, glorious victory that overcomes. On the second, His banner over us is love, our sword the Word of God. We tread the road the saints above with shouts of triumph broad. By faith they like a whirlwind dressed with on our every fear. The faith by which they conquered death is still the shining shoe, and see that faith is a victory. Faith is a victory, and oh, glorious victory that overcomes. Now the last we sing to Him that overcomes the foe, my raiment shall be here. Before the angels we shall know His name confessed in there. Then onward from the hills of light, our hearts with love of fame will vanquish all the hosts of night in Jesus' concrete name. And faith is a victory. Faith is a victory. Oh, glorious victory that
we thank Thee, our Heavenly Father and our God, for the opportunity once again to gather and sing songs and raise our hearts in praise toward Your name. We'd ask that our hearts might be attuned to Your Word and that we might rejoice in You. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Remain standing if you would and take your hymn books if you desire. Hymn number 471. We'll sing number 471, The Way of the Cross Leads Home. On that verse, join me as we sing. I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. If I share in sight of the gates of light, it's the way of the cross I
I onward go, the way of
may be seated. And I'm glad that the way of the cross leads home. And certainly, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And I trust that today you can say that you're going home by way of the cross, and there is no other way. If you're our guest today, you've honored us by your presence, and we would like to take this opportunity to say a word of welcome to you. And our ushers have in their hands some information they'd like to give you, and also a beautiful gift, just as a small token of our appreciation for your visit with us here today. And so we don't want to embarrass you in any way, but if you're our guest, you're not a member or regular attender of Freeway Baptist, I wonder if you just lift your hand so that the fellows can find you. All right, we thank the Lord for these. Anyone else? We're not a bit afraid of you. Go ahead. We'd like to give you a beautiful gift, and when you receive it, you'll be happy that you raised your hand. And we're so delighted in every service. We have one right up here, Brother Bill, in the corner. Brother Matt is here visiting us from Riverside, California. We're glad that you're here today, Matt. And he's a friend of Brother Williams. And I'm delighted for every person that's chosen to be in the house of the Lord today. I tell you what, you could have been a lot of places, but the fact that you're here speaks well of the choice that you have made. And I know that God is going to bless you for having made this choice to be in the house of the Lord today. And, we don't want to embarrass our guests. So I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to ask at this time for our guests, if you would, just to remain seated. And I'd like all of our regular attenders, if you would, to stand to your feet at this time. And while the instruments play a little bit of that song again, if you would, go and shake hands with someone. Greet our guests and tell them that you're glad they're here. Would you do it?
Find our seats. Let's go to hymn number 521. If you don't mind, you can remain seated. You can be seated on this. Hymn number 521. And we'll sing, Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Enjoy your singing this morning. Doing a great job. Hymn number 521. Let's sing all the verses. Here we go as we start. Redeemed, how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed for with infinite mercy. His child and forever I am. Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed, redeemed, his child and forever I am. Redeemed and so happy in Jesus. No language my rapture can tell. I know that the light of his presence with me does continually dwell. We're redeemed, redeemed, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. Redeemed.
great singing, and I would just like to mention a few things before we continue on with our service. There's a number of exciting things planned throughout the summer months for the Freeway Baptist Church, and I want to just highlight a couple of those things. I'm not going to give you all of the announcements in the bulletin. I'm going to trust you to read that. But I do want to say that for those that are planning to go to the couples retreat up at Bison Ranch Retreat Center, there'll be a meeting following the evening service tonight right up here on the piano side, and we'll hand out maps and answer questions and give you all the necessary information. We still have room for a few more married couples that would like to go with us up to Bison Ranch. My brother Stephen is the pastor of the Coastline Baptist Church in Oceanside, California. And he's going to be our guest speaker there, and it's going to be a wonderful time. We'll begin on Thursday evening with dinner and an evening session. Friday is going to be a full day, and then we'll wrap it up there around lunchtime on Saturday and head back towards the house. And it's going to be a great time, and it's not too late if you're interested. All of us probably could use a little bit of strengthening of our home in some measure, but I believe that it begins with a good, strong marriage. And you've got to have strong marriages if you're going to be good parents. And you've found that out. And I know that there are those that perhaps could use the retreat and how that it's going to strengthen you from the Word of God. So let me urge you. Perhaps you know someone that would like to go and can't go because of finances. There's a couple of ways you can help. Today, as you leave the service, there are going to be some folks at a table there, and there's some baked items that will help some folks that would like to go to the couples retreat that just don't quite have enough to get there. Or you can just help us by sponsoring a couple if that's what you choose to do. And there are people I know that have been having a hard time, and instead of going week in and week out for 30 minutes or 45 or minutes to an hour sitting down with a counselor, God could do a real work in a compacted period of time in their lives. And I know that God would bless you as a result of your willingness to help another. Also, let me mention that many of you have signed the Marriage Protection Amendment petition that Brother Ray Sands has brought in for us. And I believe that as the people of God, we have responsibility to be the salt of the earth and the light of the world. And so if you've not yet had the opportunity to sign the petition so that our voice can be heard as voters here in the state of Arizona, I want to urge you to go by the table today following the service. See Brother Ray there. Would you stand up, Brother Ray? I want everybody to know who you are, okay? And it's a handsome guy. Very dignified looking man, and don't you can pay me later. But anyway, hey, he's going to have a petition back there. I hope that all of you will avail yourself of the opportunity to go by there and put your name down so that we can get this on the ballot for the November election. I know that it would be a blessing to live in a state, I know it would personally, that says we have decided that we're going to call a marriage what God calls it, and that is a union between a man and a woman only. And so I believe that we should say that, don't you? I'm glad both of you feel that way. It comforts my heart. You know what I'm saying? So if you would be aware of that, and there are a number of other things that are listed in the bulletin, but one more thing I do want to mention, and that is that the camps for the teenagers and the children are the end of June. And if you are interested in sending a child to camp, we need for you to at least start turning in the registration forms, because we need to begin knowing exactly how many vehicles to secure, how many counselors we have to have. And, of course, they're trying to get a count from us in Colorado so that they can make sure they have enough food prepared and all of the things necessary for the camp. And so it's going to be a great time. There's a church from Nevada. There's a church from New Mexico, a church from Colorado, and our church from Arizona. And we'll all be getting together in Dolores, Colorado, and camping out near the Dolores River, right on the Dolores River. It's going to be a wonderful experience for these young people. And the junior camp is for youngsters going into the fourth grade up through the sixth grade, and then the teen camp is for those seventh through the 12th grade. And if they're going into the seventh grade, they qualify to go to the teen camp unless they want to go to the junior camp, then they can do that. But we'll get that all worked out. And please get the things, the registration forms filled out and turned in. And I hope that as well today you remember as you're leaving to help encourage some folks that want to go to that couples retreat that are scraping and saving cans and mowing lawns and doing, I guess couples aren't out mowing lawns, but whatever they're doing to try to get there, it'd be an encouragement to them. And we appreciate it so very much. Brother Burke, come.
Let's sing our last song for the for our morning service, hymn number 528. Hymn number 528, No One Ever Cared For Me Like Jesus.
Come, if you would, as we prepare to receive the Sunday morning offering. And I want to just encourage you to be found faithful to do exactly what God would have you to do. I thank the Lord that we're seeing demonstrated from those who have committed to give to the He is Greater offering, faithfulness. This Wednesday, we're scheduled to receive the steeple that will be erected on our building. And we've completed the work on the north stairs. And we have a number of projects upcoming, and you'll be seeing visibly the results of your faithfulness to give to the He is Greater offering. But the need is great towards the general fund, and I just want to say thank you for your faithfulness, and I want to urge you to keep it up. The Bible says in the book of Proverbs that the faithful man shall abound with blessing, and we've seen that proven in our own lives, and I know that you could give testament to the fact that God has been faithful to you as you have been faithful to give financially. And may God bless you as you give today. Brother LaCroix, would you lead us in prayer, please, for this offering? Amen.
could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see a miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace and made me what I am today, just an old sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace.
Great.
Praise the Lord. Thank you, Brother Mike. I love that song, and I love it even more because I know that the man that sings it believes it and has a life to go with the song. And I'm delighted to invite you to turn with me this morning in the book of Psalms to Psalm 23. Sometimes we think, oh, I heard this one, I know that one. But at times I've discovered I take many of the familiar passages for granted. And I don't ever want us to be found guilty of that. And perhaps today we'll take a new look at an old passage in the Word of God that maybe you memorized when you were a child in vacation Bible school. I remember when I was about 9 years old receiving an award in vacation Bible school because I memorized the 23rd Psalm. How many of you have ever memorized it? I'm not going to call on you to quote it, but you at one time could quote it, and perhaps even now could give a pretty good accounting for that. And we're going to spend some moments together in this great passage of Scripture. I want to say before we get into the message that I had such a wonderful time on Friday night with the men of our church. We had a great turnout. We had so many, we had to set up a couple extra tables, and that's always a great situation to be in, and we had lots of food. Man, we had steak, and we had spare ribs, and we had chicken, and coleslaw, and baked beans, and we had watermelon, and is anybody getting hungry yet? Yeah, me too. It was good, though. We had a great time, and there were some of the ladies there, and they were just a little bit bitter, and I saw they were having a real bad attitude, you know, and I went over to try to minister to them in their bitter state, and they said, "This isn't right, Pastor. When we have women's get-togethers, we eat quiche and finger foods, sandwiches with the crust cut off of it. You have to buy a Big Mac after the women's fellowship to get full." They said, "Why can't we have some steak and ribs and chicken?" So I talked to Linda about it. The next women's fellowship, there's going to be some good barbecue on the menu, whatever that means. You'll have something to sink your teeth into, that's for certain. And it'll be a good time. But we had not only a good time eating together, and, you know, it just seems like, Brother Bert, every time that there's barbecue involved, I just enjoy it. You know what I'm saying? And we had a good time with that, but we had a great time of fellowship. And it was fun to have Brother Kevin's dad play the piano for us, and he did such a beautiful job. And hear the testimonies of what God is doing in the hearts of men right here at the Freeway Baptist Church. It was refreshing and encouraging to my heart. And as I come into this time of year when people are frequently taking vacations and so forth, I want to encourage you to utilize the time that you have off on vacation to be reinvigorated for the Lord, to come back energized anew and afresh to serve the Lord more faithfully. And when you go on vacation, let me encourage you to take your Bible with you. Amen? That was weak. Take your Bible with you on vacation. Take some. There we go. And make sure you pray at meals. And on Sunday, find a good Bible-believing church in the area if you can to worship with your family and keep Christ first in all that you do, even on vacation. And I know that if you would, it would make for a better vacation. And you won't regret it. And years to come, your kids will remember that. Do you know it? I can tell you that I remember my mom and dad having devotions. I can't remember what every devotion was about. I might have slept through some of them. I'm not quite certain. But I remember that they went to the effort to have them. And now, as an adult child, that means a great deal to me. And your kids may not remember what the preacher preached. They may not remember where it was that you went. But they'll remember, hey, I remember that time we went on vacation and we went to that church on Sunday morning. And if it's a blessing to you, that's great. If the guy preaches a great sermon and the kids get something out of Sunday school, that's great. If it's lousy and you come out thinking, man, I wish I was at Freeway, that's okay too. So either way, it works, right? And so I want to just encourage you in that. Psalm chapter 23 this morning. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Heavenly Father, I pray that as we look into Your Word, that we might find comfort, might we find hope. And Lord, I pray that if there's one seated in this auditorium this morning that is uncertain of where they will spend forever, I pray that today would be the day of salvation for them. Lord, I pray that You would be honored and glorified through all that is said and done. For we pray these things in the wonderful name of Jesus. Amen. This morning I want to bring a message titled simply, The Sufficient Shepherd. The Sufficient Shepherd. The Bible tells us in the book of John in chapter 10 that Jesus is the good shepherd. In fact, He is the great shepherd. He is the shepherd of the flock. He desires to be the shepherd of your life. For He said, My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me, and I give unto them eternal life. Neither shall any man be able to pluck them out of My hand. My Father which gave them Me is greater than all, and no man shall be able to pluck them out of My Father's hand. My Father and I are one. Certainly that was the Lord declaring His own deity, His oneness with God in power, in authority, in rank, in status, in position. Certainly the great shepherd has everything that you or I will ever need at any point in time in our life. He's the one that lays down His life for the sheep. For He said in John 10, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth His life or layeth His life down for the sheep. And when we recognize that, it should cause this psalm to take on greater significance, greater importance. Sometimes we look at this when people die. And I suppose hundreds of times I have stood at the graveside of someone and had the 23rd Psalm requested that it be read and read the 23rd Psalm, or perhaps someone quoted the 23rd Psalm, or it was used in a memorial service. But the 23rd Psalm is not only useful at a time of someone's passing to provide comfort, it is useful to provide comfort for every one of us today. Jesus is our sufficiency. In Him we have everything that we will ever need. For the Bible tells us, He hath given us all things that pertain unto life and to godliness. The Bible tells us in the book of Colossians that we are complete in Him. So what that literally means is that He being our sufficiency has given us all things so that we need not lack, we will suffer no need. In Jesus Christ, we find our absolute sufficiency. And I want to talk to you about a sufficient shepherd. Now, I remember years ago before we moved to Arizona, we lived in the town of Mira Loma. And Mira Loma was kind of a rural community, a lot of horse ranches there and a lot of pasture land, some dairies, and they raise a lot of animals in that part of the country where we were living. And rapidly they were closing down the ranches and the farms and the dairies and building up homes, a lot like we have seen here in this area. But we moved into a place where there was a vast pasture, and I think it was probably about 100 acres there nearby where we lived. And I can remember with great curiosity watching a shepherd as he tended a flock of sheep there. And I don't know, it was maybe a couple of hundred head of sheep that were there grazing in that land. And I watched day after day as I would drive by that pasture, the care that that shepherd gave to those sheep. I can remember a couple of times getting out of my car, pulling off of the road and going over just to look at the little lambs that were playing around there in the pasture, and just feeling the warmth and thinking about the fact that the shepherd of my heart and soul is tending me. And he's leading me. And I can recall times working late and coming home and getting off of the freeway and driving down the road there and driving past that pasture. And I would see that shepherd with a little fire burning there. He would have a 55-gallon drum and he would build a fire there. And he would have his shepherd staff and he would be walking around with his little sheepdog and checking on the sheep. And I thought how comforting that there they were bedded down in lush green grass, and now there is a light, a beacon, if you would, for them to know that the shepherd is there in presence with them, and he was walking around talking to them because those sheep recognized his voice. As they would graze a portion of that pasture away, he would move them to a green portion of the pasture as of yet ungrazed. He was constantly vigilant over those lambs. And as I day after day observed that playing out before my eyes, I was comforted knowing that I have a shepherd who with greater vigilance and greater ability desires to shepherd my life. And he is sufficient for whatever it is that I may face and for whatever it is that you may face today. And because the Lord is my shepherd, there are some things that I shall not want. For the Bible tells us the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. What does that mean? I think about when the Lord spoke to Abraham, and there Abraham was talking to Jehovah God and saying, when I go and speak, whom shall I say has sent me? And the Lord said, tell them, I am hath sent thee. And you say, what in the world kind of a name is I am? And literally the kind of name that it is just this, that God was declaring, I am anything that you will ever need or want. I am Jehovah God, the shepherd of my heart, says the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I want to ask you a question today. What is it in your life that you're yearning for? What is it that you're hoping for and longing for? What are the goals of your life? What are you getting up in the morning for? What is it that makes your heart go pitter-patter? Some of us could say, well, it's my wife, or it's my children, it's my sweetheart, or maybe it's the success I'm achieving in my career and I'm realizing my goals, and those are the things that I am passionate about. And yet I want to tell you, God wants to lead us to a place where we are passionate about Him and where with Him we say, I shall want for absolutely nothing. There's nothing that I would have to desire. I think about what the psalmist said, that the Lord is the strength of my life and my portion forever. He said, there is none on earth that I desire beside thee. And whom have I in heaven but thee? For the Lord is the strength of my life and my portion forever. When Jesus is your shepherd, you shall not, first of all, want for anything. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. The one who wrote this great psalm, of course, was David. And we can find over in chapter 37 where that he said, I have been young and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken or his seed begging for bread? And the Lord knows them that are His, and He knows how to deliver them. He knows how to care for them. And the Lord will not allow His lambs, the sheep of His pasture, to lack for anything that they legitimately need. Sometimes we like to quote Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. How many of you have memorized that verse of Scripture? All right, there's one or two of you. How many of you maybe have seen that on a plaque somewhere? I can remember times in my life where that I was having a hard time financially. And maybe kind of wondering how the next tank of gas was going to come and where the next meal was going to come from. And taking verses from the Bible and printing them on 3x5 cards and placing them around the house where I would see them. And I remember that Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19 was one of those verses that I would always write out on a 3x5 card because I wanted to claim that verse, but my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And as I studied Philippians chapter 4, I realized that that was a promise to those that contributed to the mission work, to the missionaries, because Paul commended them just prior to that for their sacrificial contribution to the work of missions. And then he said, but my God shall supply your need. You've taken care of supplying for my need. God has used you in the supply of my need as a missionary planting churches. Now God will provide for your needs. And certainly I want to tell you this today, that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want for anything. There is no good thing that God will withhold from them that love Him. He will provide for us that need. And I want to tell you this. God knows what you need more than you do. Sometimes what we think we need is really what we want. But God knows what your needs are. Sometimes what we need is definitely not what we want. Now, we had Timothy the other day at a restaurant, and there on the table was a root beer float. And you know, it's a funny thing this way. He didn't want to eat any of the vegetables or the meat or the mashed potatoes. The only thing he wanted was a root beer float. Now, I'm sure none of you can identify with that whatsoever. But that perfectly depicts our lives in the sense that there are so many times where we want the root beer floats of the Christian life. And you say, Lord, you can have the green beans and the broccoli and the cauliflower. That's not for me. I want the root beer floats of the Christian life. And sometimes that's not what we need. How many of you know that? Say, but yeah, it's more fun to eat a root beer float. And you know, you're exactly right. It is more fun. You know, we're going to have fun throughout the endless ages of eternity. We'll have greater joy than this world has ever imagined. If you took all of the euphoria that the world could create for you and intensified it 1 billion times, it will not even begin to compare with the joys that are in store for us in heaven. The Bible says that eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither has entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for them that love Him. And I believe today that whatever it is that you have need of, God is sufficient to supply and standing ready and able to supply it. And He knows that you have need of it before you ever even ask Him for it. This encompasses not only the financial or the material, but every single facet of our life. For He is the great I Am. And when you walk with Him, and when you choose to be a lamb in the pasture of God, you will never want for whatever it is that you need. Not only that today, the Bible tells us in verse number 2, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Secondly, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not wish for comfort. I shall not wish for comfort. You and I can know firsthand the restoration that comes from the great shepherd. The comfort that can come to the brokenhearted. The comfort that can come to the afflicted mind. The comfort that can come to the emotionally disturbed and overwrought, those bereft of losing loved ones, those that are searching and yearning for something more. The Bible says, He restoreth my soul. He is the great comforter. Friend, when we get saved, the Bible says we are baptized into Jesus Christ by His Holy Spirit. And the Bible declares to us in John chapter 14 and also in John chapter 16 that the Holy Spirit is the comforter. The comforter. Praise the Lord. I think we're going to sing that maybe tonight. The comforter has come. I like that verse or that hymn that we sing, that the comforter has come. But when Jesus promised that the comforter would come, He said, I will send you another comforter and He may remain with you. And the word another there literally means another of the exact same kind. And the Spirit that dwells within us is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He is the Spirit of Christ, our Shepherd. And He is the one who can comfort us. Friend, today I believe that there are therapists and counselors that are getting wealthy off of Christians who can quote the 23rd Psalm, who are trying to find some comfort for their soul and finding none. It is ever elusive because you cannot find comfort in therapy. You cannot find comfort in counseling. You can find comfort in the person of Jesus Christ who said, I will restore your soul. Friend, our soul today is that part of us that God created that is our mind, our will, and our emotions. Now, sometimes we have people tell us, let your conscience be your guide. How many of you have ever heard that? Can I tell you something? For an unsaved person, that may not be a good guide. Because the unregenerate conscience isn't always very reliable. True? You know what you can expect an unsaved man to do? Evil. Someone that doesn't have the Holy Spirit, they're going to do what the flesh wants to do. Do you know? Sometimes people come in and they don't know the Lord as Savior, and maybe someone who doesn't understand about the regenerate man will come and say, Pastor, you know, maybe you should tell them they need to do this or do that, or they should, you know, put some clothing on, or they shouldn't behave themselves that way. And you know what I say? They're only doing what they know how to do. And apart from the Lord Jesus Christ, that's all they're ever going to do. They're going to do what comes natural in their flesh. And so the Lord, when He comes to dwell within us, He gives us a moral compass, as it were, that aligns to true north. It's because the Holy Spirit of God is in there to help us in our understanding and to guide us in our lives. But not only as a part of our soul do we find the will, but we find our mind. That's the way that we think. And today I know that in a group of this size, there's someone who is tormented in their mind. The Bible tells us in Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 8, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. But there's someone here that's has their mind being tormented by the father of lies. And who is that? Satan. And you know what he wants to do? He wants to implant seed thoughts in your mind that will keep you all paranoid and torn up in your mind and in your thinking so that you cannot focus on the things that God would have you focus on. You know what I tell couples that come in sometimes for counseling? I tell them, you don't know what you don't know. Some people come in and they say, well, I think my husband may be doing this, or I think my wife may be doing this. And I said, do you know that they're doing that? Well, no, I just sort of feel it. Well, you know, do you have any evidence? No, it's just a gut feeling. Well, you know what? You don't know what you don't know. And so put it in God's hands and trust God to be the restorer of a tormented, paranoid mind. It would be amazing to you what God can do that medicine can't. You know what? Some of you don't even believe that statement. You look at me like, well, you don't know, I have to take medicine. That's fine. You see, I know people have bipolar disorder. If they get off their medicine, they're all kinds of sorts of wacky or whatever. And that's good and fine. But I'm telling you this, I know a lot of people that don't have a chemical problem, that don't have a thyroid imbalance, that don't have a mental disorder, as it were. They have a spiritual problem, and it's resulting itself in symptoms of psychological disorders. But when the Holy Spirit of God comes to dwell within, and when they yield their mind and their spirit unto God, guess what happens? There's a peace that passes all understanding that comes into their lives that confounds the therapist, that confounds the counselor, that confounds the psychiatrist, because it didn't happen through some chemical rebalancing of their system. It was because God came inside and He was more capable of doing what the therapist couldn't do. And friends, today, when Jesus is your shepherd, you shall not wish for comfort, because He will become the restorer of the brokenhearted soul. Folks, the part of our soul that we deal with as well is our emotions. That's summed up within the term soul. And I've got books in my library on healing for wounded emotions and emotional problems and disorders. And you know, it might shock you to know that every person in this room at some given point in time in the next 7 days could be diagnosed as clinically depressed. If you look at how broad the definition is by textbook definition for clinical depression, we should all be on drugs. Huh? We should. People don't want to deal with the problem at its root in the spirit. They want to medicate symptoms of a problem that perhaps Jesus could solve. I'm convinced that if most parents would just throw away the Ritalin and bring out the paddle, it would cure a whole lot of problems. And time is going to tell what that's all going to yield anyway, but, you know... I was talking one time to Brother Charlie, and when we were kids, ADD were just letters in the alphabet. ADHD was just more letters in the alphabet. You know, if we cut up in school and we got a spanking in the principal's office, we got it harder when we got home, didn't we? How many of you know what I'm talking about? You know, and it would have been great if I could have gone to the principal's office and said, you know, the reason why I slugged this kid right in the mouth is because I forgot to take my medicine. We don't let anybody take responsibility, individual responsibility for their problems. At some point in time, you have to say, you know what, I'm a free moral agent. I have choices to make. And whether it was exacerbated by my circumstances or whether it was exacerbated by whatever, I chose to do that.
Say, Pastor, you've gone straight from preaching to meddling.
You know, if you don't come to church faithfully, you can say it's because somebody offended you or had a bad experience in church one time or, you know, whatever the case is. The bottom line is you chose not to come. Nobody forced you not to come. Huh? One day somebody got mad at me and they left the church and somebody came and said, you forced him out? I said, you mean I put him in his car and drove him off the lot?
You forced that person out of the church. I said, how did I do that? He's a big man. He's, 60 years old. He made the choice all on his own. Oh, it's your fault. You know, we always want to pass the buck off on somebody else. Whatever happened to individual responsibility? Accepting the consequences of your own actions. Whatever happened to that? We want to pass the buck off. Well, you know, that started back with Adam. And when we walk after the flesh, that's what we want to do. We never want to say, I blew it. We want to say, somebody else forced me to blow it, and therefore it's not my fault. Say, how did you get there from here? You can't get there from here. I just thought I'd throw that in for fun. But do you know, when the Lord is our shepherd, He has a restorative ability that man doesn't possess. I thank the Lord for healthcare practitioners. When I'm sick, I go to the doctor and I take medicine. But I understand that it is ultimately God that does the healing and not man. There are many that could bear witness to the fact that you've taken medicine that didn't correct a medical problem. It may have created another one. And so you've come to the point where you realize that if healing would occur, it is because God has done it. You ever wonder why they call doctors healthcare practitioners? And 125,000 people a year die in American hospitals because of malpractice? Don't practice on me. When someone goes cutting on me, I want to know what they're doing. I don't want to be practicing. You know, I'm a people. I'm not a guinea pig. The Bible says that there is a comfort that comes from the rod and the staff of God because they assure us of His great love for us. Friend, today let me tell you, according to Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible says whom the Lord, or chapter 12 rather, whom the Lord loveth, He, what? Chasteneth. And every son whom He receiveth, He scourgeth. You say, that's just what I thought. God is a great big bully sitting on some throne up in heaven with a big stick just waiting to clobber me every time I step out of line. You just bore out everything I thought about. No, can I tell you something? It didn't say whoever the Lord is mad at. It didn't say that. It says, whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth. You know what He does? He imposes His sovereign hand in love to mercifully guide us back into the pasture that is best and safest for us. And there's comfort there. Now, I have to tell you that that is not a comfortable process. Sometimes it is uncomfortable for the wayward lamb who gets caught in the crook of the shepherd's staff. But the Bible says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. At the moment, it's uncomfortable, but it brings about comfort into the life. And there is a comfort in knowing that we are secure within the care of an almighty shepherd, who sees everything that could harm me, who knows everything about me, and knows what is best for me. And when I'm downhearted, He comes and He comforts me. And when I'm brokenhearted, He comes and He restores my soul. And friend, today, when the Lord is your shepherd, you'll not wish for comfort. If you say, I know He's my shepherd, but I'm uncomforted, it may be because you have wandered from His pasture. You're no longer walking by the side of the shepherd. And it's not a long journey back there. It just takes a choice. And you're there. Thirdly, today, when the Lord is your shepherd, you will not wander aimlessly. Wander aimlessly. How many of you have ever known a church hopper? All right. There's a few of you that know. How many of you know what a church hopper is? They go from this church to that church to this church to that church. And they think that there's a perfect church just waiting for them out there somewhere. You know what I'm saying? And let me give you some good advice. If you find the perfect church, don't join it. Because then it will not be perfect anymore. You know why there's no perfect church? Because it's filled with imperfect people. And people, they get at odds with one another, they struggle and strive against one another, and you know what? You're going to have that no matter where you go. Sometimes people say, oh, these Baptist churches, or these independent Baptist churches, or blah, blah, blah. You know what? You could say the same thing about any other church in the valley. Huh? You could. You know, you're talking about your paradigm, your own experience and perceptions, but people are people no matter what badge they wear. You know, you give some people a badge and a whistle, it goes straight to their head. How many of you have ever found that out? I mean, that's just the way it goes. Baptist, Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, it's all the same. Do you know what I'm saying? And so sometimes people say, well, I'm going to go over to this church. And it's like they're wandering around aimlessly like chickens with their heads cut off trying to find the perfect church. Well, they're going to have the perfect philosophy of music, and they're going to have the perfect pastor, and he's going to perfectly preach 30 minutes every single time we get together. And God is not going to be allowed to work 1 minute past 12, because that's our whole perception of the perfect church. You know what I'm saying? And they're going to have, you know, it's going to be a small church, because I prefer a small church, but they're going to have a 100 voice choir that's going to sing in perfect pitch every time I come. Huh? And I want to be a member, which means that I want all the privileges, but in the summertime, I don't want to have to tithe. And, you know, if the air conditioning isn't just right, then I'm going to go to another church where it is right. Huh? And if I don't like the color of the carpet or the color of the paint, then I'll go to another church. Listen, I'm going to tell you something. You can wander around trying to find the perfect church, trying to pursue the will of God for your life. And I want you to know that God is not some kind of a cosmic killjoy dangling a carrot out in front of you, saying, if you come over here, maybe you'll find it. You're getting warmer. Oh, now you're cold. You're, well, you're freezing now. Oh, now you're getting a little warmer. You know, oh, now you'll find, you're getting close. Oh, you're burning up now. You don't know. God doesn't do that from heaven, trying to help you to find the will of God for your life. Do you know what He wants to do? He wants to take you in His loving care and say, walk with me. Walk in this direction with me. Because when we have the Lord as our shepherd, we need not wander aimlessly, because He is sufficient to guide us to the place that is best for us. And sometimes our minds are so messed up, we don't even know what's best for ourselves. And that's why we need a shepherd, and He is sufficient to guide us. And our travels in the footsteps of Jesus will always be rewarding, because it says, He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. There are people that are going from relationship to relationship, thinking if I have this relationship, my life will be perfect. All of us know someone that went into a relationship and it didn't make their life perfect. In fact, it made it more miserable. And it didn't help their problems. It compounded their problems. And so they thought, well, maybe I need somebody else. Maybe I need someone that's handsomer or prettier, or someone who's more intelligent or more educated or makes more money, or who is a homeowner or has better credit, or who likes me, or is a good conversationalist, or has the gift of gab. And we go around wandering around looking for something, aimlessly so it seems, that's going to comfort us, when all along, if we would just realize that we are His sheep, and that He is our shepherd. And He said, if you just follow me, I'll lead you to the still waters. I'll lead you to the lush green pastures. I'll give you the comfort of my voice and my presence. And when He is your shepherd, you need never wander aimlessly. You say, but I am searching for something. Listen, what you need to do is end your search in Christ, and then let Him, by His Holy Spirit, shepherd your life to wherever He would choose. Do you know what He does? He takes you from where you are. Some people say, well, you know, I'm going to start going to church when I clean up my act, you know. And I'm going to go to that men's camping trip as soon as I quit smoking. Or I'm going to go to that men's camping trip. Or I'm going to go to that women's retreat as soon as I, you know, overcome this problem in my life. Or whatever it is. Can I tell you something? God wants you to come as you are. That's why whenever we end our service on Sunday morning, we sing the song, Just As I Am. Huh? Not just as I'm going to be and hope to become, I'll come. No, listen, it's just as you are. Right? You come just as you are, and the shepherd will take you from where you are, and he will lead you to where he desires for you to be. There's guys out there, you know, and they're looking for a wife, and they've got a list of qualifications. Of course, women would never think of doing anything like that. Huh? My wife, you know, when I started dating Linda, I made the bad decision of asking her what she was looking for in a man. You know, and she said, I'm looking for someone that's tall, dark, and handsome. I said, you are? Would you settle for short, fat, and ugly? They have this list of qualifications, and when you meet those qualifications, then you're in like flint. Listen, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 that the Lord loves His bride with all of the warts and wrinkles and blemishes that it has, and He will take that bride from where it is, and He will gently, lovingly lead her to where one day He will present that bride unto Himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing. And He will do this leadership for His own purpose, for His name's sake. It will be for the purpose of God and not man. When the Lord is our shepherd, we will, fourthly, never walk alone. For the Bible tells us this, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For Thou art with me. When God is your shepherd, I have a news bulletin for you. You are never alone. Today, more than 70% of Americans surveyed indicated that they are terribly, desperately lonely. And they're going into chat rooms and going to clubs and to bars and joining organizations and social clubs so that they can have fellowship. Why? Because they're desperately lonely. But friend, today, I want to tell you that when Jesus is your shepherd and you understand the relationship that He calls you to, you are never alone. He will speak to you from His Word and by His Holy Spirit. He will give you a comfort. And sometimes I have people tell me, yeah, but Pastor, just sometimes I just want to have somebody to put their arms around me and tell me that they love me. And friend, you know, as you go to the Lord in prayer, in the inner man, God by His Spirit can wrap His arms around you and pray for you in a way that you could never pray and in a way that you could never pray. And He prays for you with groanings which cannot be uttered when we know not how to pray for ourselves, and He can demonstrate a depth and a breadth and a magnitude of love that we could never comprehend in this life. Friend, you could have someone wrap their arms around you today and whisper in your ear, I love you, and they could be gone in a week. But Jesus, who said, I am with you, has also said in Hebrews chapter 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Let me tell you what's real. Let me tell you what lasts. And it's not the temporal. It's not the physical. It is the spiritual. It is the eternal. When the Lord is your shepherd, you'll never walk alone. There are others that will only go so far, but the shepherd of our soul will always be near. And He will never forsake a lamb. We think about the parable of the 99 sheep that were left safely in the fold, and the shepherd left the security of the sheepfold to go search out that one lost lamb. And even when we walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He walks with you there. He said, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me." He is there. The Bible tells us, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over." And when the Lord is your shepherd, fit, you will not worry in distress. There is nothing, friend, that has ever worried God. Did you know that? The Lord has never worried about anything. And He's not going to start now. And because He is not worried and He is in control, we can rest securely within His care. The great shepherd is greater than whatever it is that is troubling you, that is causing you to be filled with fear. He is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. So He knows all. He sees all. He sees your problems from the beginning all the way to the end. And He's not worried about it. He sees the conclusion of the thing. And guess what? He's not distressed or up in arms about it. And so you and I who are need to come to the place where we surrender the lordship of our life to the shepherd of our souls and say, "God, I know that You're not worried about this. And You see the beginning from the end. And You're the Alpha and the Omega. And You're the great shepherd of my life. And so, Lord, I lay this down and I surrender it to Your lordship. And I choose to worry no more, but to rest securely in the sovereignty of the great shepherd." The Lord will give you grace in the greatest hour of your distress, though your enemies come up against you. The Bible says, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies." When people are set against you, His Spirit will enfold you in His comfort and care in a way that you could never manufacture apart from God, the great shepherd. And the Lord is your shepherd. You need not worry in distress. And then finally, we find in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. When the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not weep in hell." The Bible tells us that in hell there is weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. But the promise to the sheep of His pasture is that they will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. There was an assurance given from the shepherd. That shepherd of our soul said, "I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also." Friend, today, He is the deliverance from hell. There is comfort and joy in knowing that we will dwell with Him forever. We can rest in that fact. When the Lord is your shepherd, you're not going to hell when you die. You'll not weep in hell. You know what I'm afraid to say, and that is, there are those in the room this morning that perhaps have memorized the 23rd Psalm, and yet the Lord is not your shepherd. And there is some question about your eternal destiny, where you'll dwell forever. Because here's the truth. Every person in this room will live as long as God will live in one of two places, either in heaven or in hell. And those that have chosen by an act of their will to receive the Good Shepherd as their Savior can know, I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I can rest in that. And those that have never come to that point by faith don't have that hope. But the Good Shepherd today wants to give you that hope because He laid down His life for you so that you might have it. The Lord is my shepherd. Is He yours? Maybe you started out and you said, oh, I've heard this one, I've memorized that one. But God had something to say to you in your spirit today that you needed to hear. And if God is working on your heart, don't resist Him. Let Him shepherd your heart right now. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the great Shepherd, Jesus Christ, and that we can personally